We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 7, Verse 27. What Prahlad learned in the womb. Etatvara hi samsara.
Etatvara hi samsara.
Guna karmani bandhanaha.
Guna karmani bandhanaha.
Jnanamula partapi.
Jnanamula partapi.
Pungsa swapna ivapyate.
Pungsa swapna ivapyate.
Chant. Itatara hi samsara guna karmani bandhana jnanamula patapi pungsa svapna ivarpite. Ladies, itatara hi samsara guna karmani bandhana vigyamula partopi pungsa svapna ivapyate. Etat, this, dvara, whose door, he, indeed, samsara, material existence, in which one suffers threefold miseries. Guna karmani bandhanaha, captivation by the three modes of material nature. Agyana mulaha, whose root is ignorance. Apartaha, without factual meaning. Api, even, pungsaha, of the living entity. Svapnaha, a dream. Eva, like. Arpyate, is placed. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Through polluted intelligence, one is subjected to the modes of nature, and thus one is conditioned by material existence, like a dreaming state in which one falsely suffers. Material existence, which is due to ignorance, must be considered unwanted and temporary. Purport. The unwanted condition of temporary life is called ignorance. One can very easily understand that the material body is temporary, for it is generated at a certain date and ends at a certain date, after undergoing the six kinds of change, namely birth, death, growth, maintenance, transformation, and dwindling. This condition of the eternal soul is due to his ignorance, and although it is temporary, it is unwanted. Because of ignorance, one is put into temporary bodies one after another. The spirit soul, however, does not need to enter such temporary bodies. He does so only due to his ignorance or his forgetfulness of Krishna. Therefore, human form of life, when one's intelligence is developed, one should change his consciousness by trying to understand Krishna. Then one can be liberated. This is confirmed by Bhagavad Gita 4:9, where the Lord says, "Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatata jakta dehambunar janma naitima mitisorjana." One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, Arjuna. Unless one understands Krishna and comes to Krishna consciousness, one must continue in material bondage. To end this conditional life, one must surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Indeed, that is demanded by the Supreme Lord. Sarvadharmam prityaja mamekam sharanam vraja, is advised by Maharaj Rishabdev. One must be intelligent enough to understand that although one's body is temporary and will not endure for long, as long as one has a body, he must undergo the pangs of material existence. Therefore, if by good association By the instructions of a bona fide spiritual master, one takes to Krishna consciousness, his conditional life of material existence is vanquished, and his original consciousness, known as Krishna consciousness, is revived. When one is Krishna conscious, he can realize that material existence, whether one is awake or dreaming, is nothing but a dream and has no factual value. This realization is possible by the grace of the Supreme Lord. This grace is also present in the form of the instructions of Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is for everyone to engage in welfare activities to awaken the foolish living entity, especially in human society, so that he may come to the platform of Krishna consciousness and benefit by liberation from conditional life. In this connection, Srila Madhvacharya cites the following verses. Dukarupa pisangsaro bhuti purvam avapyate ata swapne shirascheram swayam kitatmano vishaha ato dukkam avapyeta tata jagarito pitu janan apyatmano dukkam avashastu pavartate. One must realize that the material condition of life is full of distresses. One can realize this with purified intelligence. When one's intelligence is purified, he can understand that unwanted temporary material life is just like a dream. Just as one suffers pain when his head is cut off in a dream, in ignorance one suffers, not only while dreaming, but also while awake. Without the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one continues in ignorance and is thus subjected to material distresses in various ways. Mukam karoti vachalam pangam langhate girim yakripam tamam bande shri gurum tinatarinam. Om agana timirandasya agaran shara shalakaya chakshur militam yena tasamai shri gurave namah. So the verse is all about polluted intelligence and how we suffer when we make the wrong choices, when our intelligence is polluted. And the purport, of course, is a lot about how this body is only suffering. So after reading this purport, we should be convinced. Are you all convinced that the body is temporary, it's material, and it's a cause of suffering? One Gurukuli was giving a class, or giving a realization, and she said, when we come to this material world, we sign a contract for suffering. So this is the news of this material world, that we've all signed a contract to suffer over here, so we can't complain, you know, if we suffer. But there's a lot of hope in the purport. Prabhupada gives us so much hope because he says that if our intelligence is purified, then we can get out of the suffering. So it's all a matter of intelligence, polluted or purified. And we have a choice in this human form of life to listen to our polluted intelligence or to listen to our purified intelligence. And, of course, along with the mercy of the Lord, then we can go back to Godhead if we listen to our purified intelligence. In Mahabharata, Yudhisthira Maharaj was asked many questions, and one of the questions he was asked was, who is our best friend? And what did he answer? Intelligence. Intelligence is better than the mind. The mind is a bit, can go this way and that way. But intelligence is steady, of course, if it's purified intelligence. Now, in the third canto, Kapiladev explains what is the difference between mind and intelligence. Is that the intelligence, the function of intelligence is to help us to understand the nature of objects when they come into view. What is this? What is that? And to help the senses. And it's the power to understand an object. It makes the senses, helps the senses make choices. So intelligence is supposed to be master of the senses. And the perfection of intelligence is when we become fixed in service to Krishna, in activities of Krishna consciousness. And when we do this, our intelligence is expanded. Our consciousness is expanded also. When we serve Krishna, we get a lot more intelligence than where our karma gives us. That is my experience, being less intelligent by nature, that when I chant Hare Krishna, then if I chant very attentively, I connect with unlimited intelligence. Unlimited, because intelligence is coming from Supersoul. Supersoul is the form of intelligence, and it's the giver of intelligence. So if you think you need more intelligence, just chant Hare Krishna attentively. So many times I had to teach Srimad Bhagavatam, and Bhakti Vaibhava Bhakti Vedanta, and sometimes I wouldn't get a verse, I wouldn't understand it. So I would just read the verse and then chant one round, and after chanting Hare Krishna attentively, I would understand so many things about the verse. One time, I had to give a class on the whole chapter 11 of Third Canto, which is all about time, a very, very intricate, difficult class. And I didn't understand it, of course. And so what I did was I read the chapter, it was Canto 3, chapter 11, and then I chanted all my rounds. And as soon as I did that, I got a whole chart. And I just wrote it down really fast, you know, how this time and this time goes this way, and the different dimensions of time, because as you go higher in the higher heavenly planets, you get different dimensions of time than you do here. And also, like the ant would have a different dimension of time than we do. The fly, Prabhupada says, the fly, all these in the monsoon in Mayapur, there's tons of insects that go to the light. And they all eat, sleep, mate, and defend during the night, and then they die. They die, birth, death, disease, old age, all at night, in one night. So they have a whole different dimension of time than we do. And one night they're all finished. And so Prabhupada compares the flies and the insects to people now in the material world, that they have this certain amount of life, and they spend it eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, and then it's finished, and they lose it, and they can become a dog. So Supersoul is in all of us, and he's giving us facility. Srila Prabhupada said, just like a master is taking his dog for a walk, if you go to Brisbane or Sydney or Melbourne, you see these people having the dog, they're taking the dog out for the walk. And the dog can do whatever he likes, of course the leash is there, and the master's waiting for him to finish. And the real business of the dog is to listen, obey the master's order. But he says to the dog, okay, you can walk, you can run, you can pass here, and I'll just wait for you. So just Prabhupada compares the master, he's giving facility, so Krishna is so kind, so affectionate. He's coming with us in so many bodies, and he's giving us facility. Okay, walk, run, do what you want, and I'm waiting for you, but he's got the leash too. So he's just waiting for us to listen to him. And what is his order? It's in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharma Prityaja, Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. And he's saying, you surrender to me and serve me and give me what I want. And he tells us in Gita what he wants. Patram pushpam phalam toyam, give me a little flower, fruit, water, and with devotion, of course. So Prabhupada said, Krishna has come to this temple to accept our offerings. So we can go back to home, back to Godhead. He's trying to get us to go back home. So he's come here in this temple to get us to go back. He's come as Lord Chaitanya. Of course, Krishna demanded, surrender to me. But Lord Chaitanya was very merciful. He said, just take this Krishna prema. I'm giving it to you. Don't worry. Krishna, in so many ways, Prabhupada, he translated this verse, Sarva Dharma Prityaja, in this case, about when he comes as Krishna. Why are you suffering here? Give up all these engagements. Of course, the verse says, give up all varieties of religion. But Prabhupada translates it, why are you suffering? Give it all up, because whatever you do, you'll just suffer. Don't bother manufacturing your own ways of thinking, of your own ways of protection. Just surrender to me. So, Supersoul is very, very important. It's described in this purport also, that the grace of the Lord. The grace of the Lord is the super soul. He's giving us intelligence. But not only does he give us intelligence to come to him, he gives us intelligence to forget him, too, if we want, as we like, as you like. You can forget or you can remember. It's our choice. So how does he make us forget? Prabhupada compares super soul to the expert director of a play. for those of you who are actors and actresses. An expert director makes the actor forget his real identity so he can become the part perfectly. And the more he forgets, the better he plays the part. So Super Soul makes us forget our real identity so we can become these different identities, mistaken identities. We all have mistaken identity. And Super Soul is our director because we wanted to enjoy. So if we want to enjoy, we have to forget that I'm the servant. No, I'm the enjoyer now. I'm the center of attraction. I wake up in the morning and star of the show. And what are we going to do today as the star of the show? And who's going to help us? And this is our forgetfulness. Yes, so this is due to Super Soul. But he comes as Krishna. He gives us advice that don't forget. Surrender to me, please. Turn to me, please. I'm here. I'm waiting for you. He's in our heart waiting. So, but Maya is also there. Now in the fourth canto, Lord Shiva says a prayer that who does he make forget him and who does he make remember him? He causes the demons to forget and the devotees to remember. And one who wants to continue to forget is helped by the Lord to forget him birth after birth. And if you want to remember by association with devotee, you're helped to remember more and more. Then you can go back to Godhead. So we should make that choice with purified intelligence. We don't want to forget Krishna. We want to remember. Because what happens when we forget? We suffer. Whenever, soon at this moment we forget Krishna, then we remember, oh yeah, this hurts, that hurts. Or yeah, this is what I have to do for myself. So this, we don't want to forget Krishna. Or we start fighting. Or we see, we criticize devotees. This is when we forget Krishna. We have to see with the vision of Krishna. Krishna is very compassionate. He's very kind. So whatever we want, Super Soul gives. Gives us a chance to fulfill our desires. I know this. I couldn't fix it. I don't have one. So yeah, I know. That's a little better. Yeah, I couldn't. There we go. Now we're all online. Yes, everybody can hear. So very interesting. There's a difference. We'll hear about this difference a little later. Super Soul's in everyone's heart. But what is the difference between Super Soul in the heart of the non-devotee and Super Soul in the heart of the devotee? Very big difference. Even looks different too. Of course, the non-devotee can't see him. The yogi can see him. He sees four hands, Vishnu. For the devotee, it's whoever we love. It can be Radha Govardhan Dari, it can be Gonitai, it can be Krishna Balaram. That is Super Soul for us. Because when we surrender to Krishna, then we are no longer under the laws of this universe, the laws of Maya. But Prabhupada explains that whatever a living entity desires, however insignificant it may be, it's noted by the Lord, who gives him a chance to fulfill his desires. So if desires of the non-devotees are fulfilled, why not devotees? So when you fully surrender, we find that we'll find the Lord helping us when we're in danger. Prabhupada says he can give us direction how to get out of danger, how to approach him, devotional service. Remember one time I was in danger with a big, huge monkey in Vrindavan. Still, I'm afraid of monkeys. I'm afraid to take food out here. And I still think the monkeys are going to get me. It takes a while to forget you're not, the monkeys aren't going to get you. But one time it was very interesting. It was Nrisimhadev's appearance day, right at dusk, twilight. I was going to my room, to my house. And it's a very narrow passage. And I saw one big monkey lying there. And I thought, okay, anyway, he's just lying there. Well, that was wrong. It was a mistake. And I go into my door and I realized I didn't have the key to my door. So he trapped me. And he was just tearing up my sari. Finally, he bit me. And then I didn't know. I just reached down. I didn't, just completely unconsciously. I wasn't thinking. And there was a brick. And I got a weapon. So I just reached down, picked it up, and he ran. So, so that was Super Soul. Because I had no idea that brick was there. And I didn't think of going down to reach. I just somehow reached, went down. So that supercell helping you when you're in danger. That was one example for me anyway. So this talks about intelligence in the purport. One must be intelligent enough to understand that although one's body is temporary and will not endure for long, as long as one has a body, he must undergo the pangs of material existence. So also, if by good association, by instructions of a spiritual master, one takes to Krishna consciousness, his conditional life is vanquished. So how to understand the Lord with intelligence? Prabhupada was urging us in this purport that we should try to understand Krishna when one's intelligence is developed. He quoted Bhagavad Gita, if you just understand Krishna, his pastimes and his birth, then you can get free. I was just reading, it's very interesting, about Krishna's birth. Generally we think, okay, I understand Krishna's birth. He wasn't born as a human being. He had four hands. He had a full head of hair. He was the Supreme Lord. That's one thing, but there's another thing we need to understand, that he wasn't conceived like ordinary human beings. That he went in the heart of Vasudeva, then he went in the heart of Devaki, and that's how he was conceived. And the same as Lord Chaitanya. He appeared in the heart of Jagannath Mishra, and then he went to the heart of Sachidevi. And that's how Lord Chaitanya was conceived. So that's his birth. People don't know that, that how they were conceived. They were conceived in the usual way. So we have to be intelligent enough to understand Krishna's birth. Of course, there are people who use their intelligence. Prabhupada calls them the mental speculators. The other day we heard about the mental speculator exchange, where they have an exchange where they exchange their speculations. So, but the problem with them is that it will take them many, many lives. As Gita says, Bahanam Jamanamante, Gyanavan Mam Prabhadya Taste, after so many births, finally they surrender. So we are following the process of Buddhi Yoga, Yoga of Intelligence. Buddhi, this is Bhakti Yoga. It's the same thing, Buddhi Yoga. Another meaning of Buddhi Yoga is that intelligent persons will surrender immediately. Why take so many births? Why speculate? Why try to speculate if I'm not this body? We are not this body. Just listen and accept it, and you're way ahead of these jnanis. So it's explained in Bhagavad Gita, what is Buddhi Yoga? Actually, what is the essence of using your intelligence? Is that you have direct communion with the Lord in the heart as Paramatma. So who's qualified to have this communion? As Krishna says, Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam, Priti Purvakam, that one who is engaged with love, for him I give intelligence, not official. So we have to qualify ourselves to be able to talk with Krishna. Of course, all we can do is chant Hare Krishna. That's our Yuga Dharma here. But if we can chant very nicely and attentively, then we can hear Krishna also is giving us answers to our prayers and answers to our life's problems. So one time a devotee said to Srila Prabhupada, you know, there's a common philosophy held by a lot of religious groups that God can be understood directly and no guru is necessary. So when Prabhupada heard that, he said, he's a rascal and one who accepts him is a rascal. And how do you think God is speaking to him? So he chastised the devotee. Why do you think he can do that? Because it seemed like the devotee had a doubt. He's saying, you know, they say they can talk. So Prabhupada chastised the devotee. Then he said, how do you know? Who does God talk with? And then again, he quoted this beautiful verse from 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Tesham Satata Yuktanam Pajita Priti Purvakam. One who is always worshipping Krishna with love and devotion, not a third-class fool, one who's 24 hours engaged. So another difference between super soul in the heart of the devotee and in the heart of the non-devotee. Of course, the non-devotee doesn't even notice him. That's one difference. But another difference is that the devotee feels the super soul is ever fresh. He sees devotional service as ever fresh, ever new, something new in every moment. So he reveals himself as ever increasingly new. And not only that, not only he sees the super soul inside, he sees the super soul outside. In every tree, in every bush, in every plant, in every atom, he sees super soul. So this is the vision of the devotee. In Krishna book, chapter 80, Prabhupada says a very interesting thing. Here's the sentence. If one can simply think that Krishna as Paramatma is everywhere, even within the atom, then one can perfect his thinking, feeling, and willing functions of the mind. So we have this thinking, feeling, and willing. If we see Super Soul everywhere, or try to see him, I guess, then you can perfect your thinking, feeling, and willing. It's connected. So again, Prabhupada quoted this verse when Achyutananda Swami asked Srila Prabhupada, which is more important, to go back to Godhead or to spread Krishna consciousness? So, Prabhupada answered, of course, in his usual way, he didn't say either one. He didn't say, yes, go back to Godhead, or yes, spread Krishna consciousness. But in a way, he did say, yes, spread Krishna consciousness. He said, one who is preaching Krishna consciousness is already back to Godhead. He's engaged his body, mind, and speech only to glorify the Lord. So he's Jivan Mukta. He's liberated in this life. He's already with Krishna. Krishna's talking to him. Dadami Bhuti Yogam Tam. So Prabhupada said, if you're a preacher, you're already in Vaikuntha. As Pujari, I was experiencing that in Calcutta, that when you decorate Krishna and when you serve him as a Pujari, then you feel like sometimes you're with Krishna in the spiritual world. You just feel like that. I think when you do kirtan also, you may have that feeling sometimes. You're not connected with this world, but you're in the spiritual world. So here Prabhupada says a preacher. He's in Vaikuntha already. And also when you would follow the instructions of the spiritual master, you will get intelligence. Krishna will give. Now here's a beautiful sentence from the third canto, I believe. If a disciple is very serious to execute the mission of the spiritual master, he immediately associates with the Supreme Lord by Vani or Vapu. This is the only secret of success in seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Instead of being eager to see the Lord in some bush of Vrindavan, while at the same time engaging in sense gratification, and we have a lot of those in Vrindavan, if one instead sticks to the principle of following the words of the spiritual master, he will see the Lord without difficulty. And so real intelligence means we have to connect with Krishna, connect our intelligence. And then he will give us more intelligence, how to make the next step to go back to Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada explains that when you actually become enlightened, your intelligence expands, then you join the devotee exchange, where you exchange realizations, Krishna consciousness. Just like scientists exchange their views, so are the devotees exchange their thoughts about Krishna, how to please Krishna. If you go into Vrindavan, you'll see 60 ladies in the afternoon making garlands. And sometimes they exchange thoughts. Okay, I think I'll make it down like this, like today. We have on Radha and Krishna, we have these little hanging things, beautiful things. So they exchange, and we have also a little circle thing. So they make belts, they make decorations for the crowns, and they exchange views. I think it should be like this. No, it should be like this. So they're exchanging their thoughts on how to serve Krishna. So this is, of course, then also those who are more philosophical, they'll say, well, you know, Krishna says this in Bhagavad Gita. No, it's like this. I remember one time I was in the airport in Ukraine with His Holiness Prahladananda Swami. And we were exchanging our thoughts on this particular verse of Bhagavad Gita. And we were having a little dispute about one point, I remember. And I pulled out my Gita, he pulled out his, and we read the purport. And it seemed we were both right. So, because he had a different one than I did. So, yeah, sometimes we exchange our views like that, like scientists. So the main thing is that we should be eager to understand Krishna. We should be eager to serve Krishna. And that is the price for us to go back to Godhead. So there is a wonderful prayer of the child in the womb. This is in 3rd Canto, chapter 31. He's praying, "My Lord, by your causeless mercy, I'm awakened to consciousness, although I'm only 10 months old. For this causeless mercy of the Lord, there is no way to express my gratitude but to pray with folded hands." So Prahlad was in the womb when he heard all this. So this is the prayer of a child in the womb who's very fortunate. He's expressing his gratitude. "Thank you for helping me to remember you. Now I want to take advantage of that in this life." So we're in a similar position. We've been awakened. We know the truth. We know Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We know we should serve him. He's our father, he's our lover, he's our friend, he's one of these. We have a relationship with him. And so therefore we should try to go back to Godhead and be with him and enjoy with him, serve him. So Prabhupada gives us a prayer, how we should pray to Supersoul. Here's the prayer. It's written in a letter in 1968 to Devananda. Simply our prayer should be, "My dear Krishna, please remind me to always chant your holy name. Please do not put me into forgetfulness. You are sitting within me a super soul, so you can put me into forgetfulness or into remembering you. So please do not put me into forgetfulness. Please always remind me to chant. Even if you send me into hell, it doesn't matter, as long as I can always chant Hare Krishna." That was Prabhupada's prayer to super soul. We can also pray to super soul for remembrance, because super soul's job is to help us remember and to help us forget. So we want to remember. What is Prabhupada asked to remember? Chant Hare Krishna. That's what he wants to remember. Because if you read Bhagavad Gita, 8th chapter, you will find in the purports 16 or 17 times Prabhupada mentions Hare Krishna mantra, or sometimes the full, or he says chant Hare Krishna. Now why in chapter 8 does he say that? Because chapter 8 is about smaranam. It's about remembering Krishna at the time of death. How are we going to remember? Chanting Hare Krishna. That's how we're going to remember Krishna. When I had near-death experience, that was the only thing, my whole memory was taken away, but Hare Krishna mantra came. And then I could remember everything after that. Before that, for all I knew, I could have been a molecule or an atom or something. Everything was gone, complete. Well, that was the work of the anesthesia. But holy name. So if you, and don't worry, if you chant Hare Krishna, if you please Krishna by chanting, even if you, the time of death, you forget Krishna, he won't forget you. And that's what I realized in near death. I forgot completely. It was taken away from me by some artificial means, but Krishna didn't forget me. So we should always try to chant Hare Krishna. And in this letter at the end, Prabhupada says, "Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda are singing one very nice song in which they're requesting everyone to please chant Hare Krishna and come along with them." So that is our request to everyone. Chant Hare Krishna and come along with us. And your life will be perfect. So we'll stop here. We're 1 minute ahead of time. Do we have any questions? Yes.
The meaning of
Vani. Vani.
Yeah.
Vani means words. It means instructions. It means the message also. There's a message coming from Krishna through the parampara disciplic succession. So this message is the instructions, what to do, how to get out of this world, how to remember Krishna, how to behave, how to act. That's Vani. So when we are in separation, when we are not with our spiritual master, we can remember his instructions. Arjuna experienced that after Krishna left the planet. He lost everything. He lost his power. He was defeated by some cowherd men. He says, "I have the same bow, I have the same chariot, I have the same arrow, same Arjuna, but without Krishna, it's useless." But then, what happened after that? He said, "But then he remembered Krishna's words in Bhagavad Gita. He says, now I'm remembering, what he told me in on the battlefield. and that is giving me solace in his absence. So these books, Gita, Bhagavatam, Krishna book, they are to give us solace that now we are separated. Of course, we're not separated. Krishna is right here. But it's hard to realize that in our everyday life. So our solace is up to read these books. And that will make our heart very peaceful. And to follow the instructions. Of course, reading is one thing. Applying is another. So if you just read, of course, we get knowledge. But that's jnana. Vijnana is more important, realized knowledge. And that you get by trying out, by applying what you hear from these books. You apply it to your life and see how it works. And then you get realized knowledge. Experiential learning, they call it in modern language. You experience. Some people, just by hearing, it's enough. They're intelligent enough. But some people, they have to go through the hard knocks, or they have to go through the experience so that they can understand what it means, what the words mean, because otherwise it's just words. So we have to, Devani, it means words, but we have to apply it. And that's when we change. That's when we have transformation, change of heart. And then we feel how we're on the path back to Godhead. Any other questions? Yes?
Can you please describe how contaminated intelligence and purified intelligence exists in your things?
Yes, how does contaminated intelligence and purified intelligence exist simultaneously? It's like this. Prabhupada gives the example that Krishna Surya Sam Mayahoy Antakar. Jaha Krishna Taha Nahid Mayar Antakar. Krishna is like the sun, Maya is like darkness. So if we take shelter of Krishna, we're in the sunlight. So Krishna consciousness is like the sun, and Maya is like darkness. So if we turn our back to Krishna, then we will see darkness. We will see, Prabhupada said, we will see a long shadow of ourselves. That's what we will see. So if we turn away from Krishna, then we go to polluted, our polluted intelligence will take control. Yeah, you know, it's Sunday, I've been working hard the whole day, and today I should rest. I have no Mangalarti, and it's my holiday today. Let me just sleep very nicely and have a good rest. You know, I went to Mangalarti for the last 44 years of my life. Now one day I can miss. So, polluted intelligence, it's simultaneous, it's there. Maya and Krishna are there within us simultaneously. So sunlight or darkness, we have the choice. So if we choose to be in the dark, then nobody's going to be able to wake us up, because it's harder to wake up someone who's pretending to sleep. Because we know, we have knowledge. So if we're sleeping, it means we're pretending to sleep. Who's going to be able to wake us up? If somebody's actually sleeping, it's possible. But I know when my son was in his teenage years and I would try to get him up for, not Mangalarti, forget it, but at least Guru Puja, he would be pretending to sleep. So, you know, how can you wake somebody who's pretending to sleep? You know, it's, I know you're pretending. But... Yeah, and then after 16, I told him up to 16 he has to listen. When he's 16, then he can choose, because Prabhupada said when they're 16, you accept them as your friend. So then it became 11 o'clock, 12, you know, the time to wake up was much extended. So devotees sometimes pretend to sleep. Then it would be very hard to get them to do some service or to chant Hare Krishna or... Yeah, we get into this lazy mode. Actually, there's three types of inattentiveness in chanting or doing service, and that's one is being very lazy. You know, you're not distracted, you're not sleepy, but still you don't want to do it. You don't want to chant, not today. You're going to read the newspaper instead. So, of Bhagavatam. So that's laziness is one, distraction is another, and I can't remember the third. Anyway, there's three types of inattentiveness in chanting. So any other Questions, yes.
I think many devotees experience that feeling when they've done some service, they feel satisfaction.
Yeah.
But I remember when I wasn't devotee, when I'd done some job, I felt the same kind of satisfaction. Is it of the same nature or they are different?
Okay, when you did a job outside, you felt the same satisfaction as when you do a job inside. Well, I think you're making progress because now your satisfaction is spiritual. Before it was because you accomplished something material, and now you're accomplishing something spiritual. So I wouldn't say it's bad. I'd say it's okay. It's you're going in the right direction, but just don't go back to doing something material and feeling satisfaction for that. But yes, it's good if we do something for Krishna. It's good to feel satisfaction. Just like somebody asked me one time, is it okay to feel happy while you chant Hare Krishna? Because they think, you know, this is not good. If I feel happy, I'm enjoying the holy name. But I said, no, it's good if you feel happy when you're chanting Hare Krishna. But at the same time, you can fall down if you take credit for what you did. Satisfaction is okay. But then if somebody praises you and say, wow, you did such a good job, and you think, yes, I did. It was a good day for me today. So if you take the credit, then there is danger falling. Because we have to remember who is giving us the ability, who is giving us the intelligence, who is giving us the sense, it's not even our body, who is giving us the, you know, the means. We have to give the credit to our spiritual master. It's his service. He's supposed to do it, but I'm helping him. And it's by his grace, it's by his mercy that it has come out successful. So that we should not forget. Feel satisfaction, okay. At the same time, don't take the credit. Pass the credit on, too. Because the next time, then it may not work out successfully. We have to remember who is helping us to do everything. And I have that experience. Sometimes someone will say, oh, good class. And if I forget Prabhupada, whoa, immediately. I get all these, my false ego takes over and says, yes, wow, yeah, you're a super good, this, that. But no, then I say, oh, I forgot Prabhupada somehow. So no, you don't forget where everything is coming from, where your intelligence, where your ability to do something is coming from. But yes, satisfaction is good. It satisfies the soul. It says in Bhagavatam, if you do devotional service, ahaitukiya pratihata, without cause, without motive, and without gap, that will satisfy the soul. So your soul is satisfied when you do this work. Your mind, intelligence, false ego is satisfied when you do that work. So yes, it's satisfying the soul if you do this properly. It's very satisfying for the soul, and that helps you to be more enthusiastic to continue on the path. Yes. Yeah.
It's not still quite clear for me. That looks, for me, pretty much similar.
Yeah.
I mean, the feeling. So I'm a bit worried that I'm just satisfying my mind, intelligence, and...
Yeah. Okay, when you get the feeling in spiritual life, then remember to say, thank you, Krishna, thank you, Prabhupada, thank you, your spiritual master, for allowing me to do this service for you. Just express your gratitude. Just remember them somehow. And don't worry, it's okay if you feel happy doing your service. It's really good. It's a good sign. It's a very good sign. But yeah, as I said, don't take the credit. It may be the same feeling, but that's okay. I wouldn't worry about it. Just as I said, don't forget. Okay, immediately when you feel good, express your gratitude. Say a prayer to Radha Govindandari, to whoever is your deity, Gaurani Thai, Krishna Bhakt. Thank you. Remember to say thank you for giving this service. Thank you for giving me this happiness and devotional service. Thank you for giving me this satisfaction. Because before you wouldn't think to say thank you, you'd say, I did it. You know, in the material world, yeah, I did it. It was me. But here, it's a whole different consciousness. So you do it with your consciousness, with your soul, then you express your gratitude, just like the prayer of the child in the womb. He was expressing gratitude. Thank you for giving me this awareness now. And according to His Holiness Sachinanda Swami, gratitude is the door, first step in going to prema, or love of Godhead. Gratitude, being grateful. So that's all I would just say. Don't forget where it's coming from. Be great, and on the positive side, be grateful. Thank you. Yes, yes, Madam Mahaprabhu.
At the same point, I remember there was a discussion.
Oh.
I guess by the Arantan Swami.
Oh, good. We are getting authority.
The devotees, leaders, this con, and they discussed at the same point. And the topic came up, so how do we know that our expression serves as spiritual?
How do you know our expression is spiritual?
As Vishnu Dhamma was wondering, I guess. Uh-huh. The question and answer, which I remember, was that
oh.
In our service,
uh-huh. Okay. Oh, that's a really good point. Okay. Okay, if you're faced with failure, then you're still happy.
All right.
Pardon me?
Success
or failure is up to don't be attached to the results, according to Bhagavad Gita. Thank you for that. That's wonderful. When we're faced with failure, then we're also happy. And we remember Krishna. At least I tried. Just like Prabhupada gives the example of Jatayu. He failed to stop Ravana, but he gave his life. He tried. At least he tried. And that was seen by the Lord, and Lord Ram held him his head at the time of death. So even if we're not quite successful, at least we tried. We should be happy that we did try our best. Yes? Thank you.
And on the devotee, somebody who's not a devotee, how much is he really on top of his decisions?
That's free will, yeah. How much is a non-devotee on top of his decisions?
Has he any free will, or is it just material nature?
Well, the more he's in the mode of goodness, the more free will he has, I would say. Would you say, Madan Mohan? Would you agree with that? The more he's in the mode of goodness, the more free will somebody will have in this world, because the Lord favors goodness, he says in Bhagavatam. So in goodness, your mind is clear and you can make decisions. You can have more choice. In ignorance, you're just completely intoxicated and you have no choice. In ignorance, there's very little choice. The animals, they don't have much choice. Though some choice is there, you know. They can go up, you know, there's some choice. But so in ignorance, your choices are limited because you're making the wrong choices. And because you're intelligence is clouded, you make the wrong choices. And in passion, you have a little bit more free will. But in goodness, you have a lot of free will. Because your mind is clear, your intelligence is more clear in goodness. And if you meet a devotee, then your free will is wakened up. If you chant Hare Krishna, if you do anything in devotional service, then that's the beginning of your waking up of your free will, actually. Would you agree with that? Or you say something?
I have no choice but to agree.
You have no choice but to agree. How's that? Anyway, yeah, so I would say yes, you do have more free will. The more developed your consciousness is, the more free will you have. And less developed, like the trees, they can't even move. Although Prabhupada said they do move. They move when they see an obstruction, they grow a different way. And he said the trees in Florida, the government was cutting all the coconuts off from the tree because they were afraid they would fall on someone's head. And Prabhupada said, no, they have eyes. They can see. They won't fall on your head. Eyes in the coconuts. They have. But, yes?
I also remember what Srila Prabhupada said, don't think Krishna doesn't know when to let the coconuts fall.
Don't think Krishna doesn't know when to let the coconuts fall on your head. Yeah. I mean, I lived in Goa for 5 years in India, and full of coconut trees, and I never saw a coconut fall on anyone's head, actually.
I read that in a conversation.
Oh, okay. We Yeah, it's very nice examples Prabhupada gives. Another example, anyway, I won't get into it, about the coconut tree. But okay, any other questions or comments on intelligence and use of intelligence? And yes?
Yeah, I'm trying to understand the super soul and the intelligence.
Yeah.
Is that combined?
Yeah, our intelligence is coming from super. It says, if you read Canto 2, Chapter 2, I believe, somewhere around 35 or 45, I can't remember exact verse, there's a whole analysis in the purport. And Prabhupada gives a name for super soul, the form direction of intelligence. Super soul is the form direction of intelligence. So it's the form of intelligence and direction. He's giving direction to our intelligence.
And the meaning
mind is just accepting, rejecting.
Okay.
That's the, and thinking, feeling, willing. It's just accepting, rejecting. I like this, I don't like that. Intelligence say, oh, this, you don't like it, but that's good for you. You know, intelligence is supposed to be higher. But when in the material world, the mind says, I like this, intelligence says, yeah, okay, I'll go along with it. Even though it's bad for you, but it's polluted intelligence. No, no, I know it's bad, but still I want to do this. So that's polluted intelligence. Yeah. So that's the influence of Maya on our intelligence. Yeah. Intelligence is coming from super soul. Mata smriti gyanam apohanam cha. And it's the form direction. Bhagavatam is an expansion of Gita. Gita is just like a seed suspended in Bhagavatam. So if you read Canto 2, Chapter 2, I think, yeah, Chapter 2 is about Lord in the heart. And somewhere around 35 is a huge purport where Prabhupada analyzes how even an ordinary person can see the super soul and see the soul or experience the presence of the soul and super soul. It's huge, huge, long analysis given by one of our acharyas, I believe, I think, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Yeah. Okay, any other questions, comments? Jai Bhagavad Shri Prabhupada, Hare Krishna.